Bruce Arthur, our buddy from The Star, will join us here in a moment. And it's starting to leak out, the Boogie Cousins stuff. We didn't get into it a lot yesterday.
No.
Obviously, he's in Golden State now. And I guess he wanted to go to the Lakers, and the Lakers decided to spend their money otherwise, bringing in Rondo, basically. But I read this morning that New Orleans offered him a 2-year, $40 million deal. So there was money on the table. Mm-hmm. There was an offer. It's a team he's familiar with. That's who he was traded to. He played in New Orleans. So this idea that nobody wanted him, no one was willing to offer him anything, you could tell at the time that was ridiculous.
Right.
But I don't blame him for taking this opportunity because of the circumstance he's in. He's coming off a torn Achilles. There's no guarantees he'll ever be the same guy again anyway. He needs time to recover, and he's going to get at least 16 playoff games to show himself off because they're going to win next year.
It's a gamble, though.
Why do you say that?
He's taking a gamble, right? I mean, you leave the money on the table, because what happens if Achilles tears in basketball .
It may forever alter his game. He may never return to form.
It's amazing in hockey how many players are able to come back from Achilles tears, because it's rare in other sports. It's really tough in other sports.
Not, jumping. There's no jumping in hockey. That's really what it comes
down
to.
And also your foot is largely immobilized, right? I mean, your ankle.
With the skate, you're saying.
Yeah.
I got it.
So Eric Carlson was talking about his Achilles tear, right? That
well, he didn't even tear it. He ruptured it.
Yeah, so his was, he said the skate actually helps you.
Right. Joining us down the Maple Toyota Hotline here is Bruce Arthur from the Toronto Star. What's happening, Bruce?
Boys, the Achilles tear is my nightmare injury. It's always been. I knew a guy who was a really good basketball player, kept himself in shape, blew his Achilles, and basically never played pickup basketball again. And that's an ordinary guy. DeMarcus Cousins, at his slimmest, was 280 pounds.
Right.
So, yeah, you're right. It is definitely not a guarantee.
No, there's no guarantees. And honestly, the idea that this is what's putting Golden State over the top is also ridiculous.
They're already over the top.
They were already going to win. It was already probably predetermined. Yes, they're going to win. They're already. Maybe Houston. Maybe Houston can get them.
Well, they do lose.
When? Like in the playoffs?
No, they lose the odd game once in a while. I mean, yeah. They're not Superman. They could be beaten.
Bruce, I honestly, I don't think it really is that big of a deal in terms of reading the future. They were going to win anyway, with or without Boogie Cousins.
I would put it this way. I would agree with you. I think this team, Houston made them look really uncomfortable in the conference final, made them look like they didn't know what they were doing, and Houston just lost Trevor Ariza, who's their most versatile defensive wing. So Houston just got worse. The reason that this becomes, this brings up the whole Golden State issue again, is Golden State's just completed the most dominant fourth-year kind of run of any team in history. And the NBA is a league, full of dynasties and dynastic teams. They've had the highest winning percentage over 4 years of any team in history. They've won 3 out of 4 titles, and they lost the fourth one in a game 7. In the finals, the last 2 years, like getting a game off these guys is basically a championship in itself. Golden State broke the system, and they're too good. If Kevin Durant hadn't gone to Golden State, we'd have completely different conversations about the NBA, but he did. And what that does, so DeMarcus Cousins is coming off an Achilles tear. He's a monster talent, monster talent. He's also a guy who is a problem historically in locker rooms. Like he's an unhappy guy. He's a problem player. But he could have gone. The LA could have said yes to the same deal, 5.3. I was told the Raptors could have said yes to this same deal and said no. Now, is that because they don't want to take the risk on DeMarcus Cousins in their locker room? And Golden State has the internal culture they think they can deal with it. Yeah, that's probably a part of it. But also, let's say DeMarcus Cousins doesn't play till January. Now, Golden State, that doesn't matter. They're barely paying attention in the regular season anyway. They're going to rest Steph Curry like 20 games next year. But if DeMarcus Cousins gets back to 75% of DeMarcus Cousins down the stretch, and they get into the playoffs, and let's say Houston does that same thing, or another team, and pushes them to the brink, you will now have a guy who can mash almost any big man in the league as an extra nuclear weapon on a team that already, I always say this about Golden State, their fourth best player holds the NBA record for points scored in a quarter. That's how good these guys are. So that's why everyone goes,
That's Clay
Golden
Thompson.
State's too good. Yeah. Well, Golden State's too good.
Yeah, but don't hate the player, hate the game. I mean,
right.
So, Golden State's figured it out. They drafted and developed Steph, Draymond, and Clay. Like, yep. That's not on them. Like, it's not. Now, Kevin Durant, you know, listen, they signed the check. Every team in the league would have taken him in a heartbeat.
100%.
And it didn't really start with Durant, though. The irony here is about what's gone on over the past 3 days. LeBron was the big story, goes to LA. It started with LeBron in many ways. I mean, LeBron.
Going to Miami.
Absolutely going to Miami.
Well, but you know what, Bruce? Well, let me ask you this, Bruce. Do you think the Warriors are good or bad for basketball?
That's a good question, Gord. Like, you look at the overall ratings, look at the way their salary cap's going up year over year. Basketball's booming. I would say this. So from my perspective, I've written about this. I'm not mad at Golden State. Steve Kerr's one of the best people in sports. Steph Curry's great. Draymond Green's fascinating. I don't even blame Kevin Durant. He wanted to win titles, and we, the media and fans, judge players on championship rings in basketball more than in any other sport. So guys like Steve Nash is a great example, didn't win a title, and therefore his legacy gets downgraded because he didn't win a title. Now, that's not necessarily fair. But the problem with it is, narratively, what you want is a balance between greatness and unpredictability. And Golden State, because they had a one-year money bomb hit the league, because ESPN gave them all the money in the world, and because nobody in charge, especially the union, decided to smooth that money into the system over years, they had a chance to add Durant to a team that was already a 73-win team, essentially. And they returned about 68% of the minutes from that 73-win team, but with Durant instead of Harrison Barnes. It just means, I think it's bad for basketball because you get a certain number of people that go, it doesn't matter what anyone else does. And you can still enjoy the storylines and the stars and the games and that, but when it comes to who's going to win the title, there is no question. With Michael Jordan, he won 6 titles in 6 full years with Chicago. There were still questions as to whether they would win a title. There was more narrative suspense with them or with Shaq and Kobe or with the Lakers and the Celtics going back all through the modern NBA. This is a different level up of dominance. And that's where I think it's bad for the league, because imagine a league where Durant didn't leave Oklahoma City. So you have Oklahoma City with whoever they've got, and Houston, it would won't have gone as hard after Golden State, but they went hard after Golden State and Golden State. You have a real question mark over who's going to win the title. Now, that one really key part of any sports narrative appeal isn't completely gone, but it's as close to gone as it's been in a league where dynasties are the rule rather than the exception.
With Bruce Arthur from the Toronto Star. So, flipping over to the East, do you believe the Raptors, now they're not going to be able to sell this blatantly. You can't just come out and put this on a platter for people. You'll get chewed up. But I could see it through the grapevine, and I think the fans are smart enough to understand this. Again, if Golden State, if it's been handed to them, they've got the title anyway. Do you think the Raptors can sell that getting to an NBA final is basically the equivalent of winning an NBA final?
I think you could. I think you could at least say it's a level of success in our organization we've never even really come close to, right? Like, it's a hard thing to do. Even in the East is so bad. Like, let's talk for a second about how bad the East is. My friend Tim Reynolds of the AP ran the numbers the other day. There's 16 all NBA players like active in the league who've made first-team All-NBA, 13 are in the West. The three who are in the East are Dwayne Wade, who's 36, Joakim Noah, who's 33, and Dwight Howard, who's been released or bought out outright by two different teams, right? Like, the 7 active MVPs are all in the West. So, yeah, Toronto making the final helps, and it's a better level of accomplishment. I'm not sure they're going to do it with the current core, though. Since they got knocked out, what's happened? Dwayne Casey gets fired. Now, that's LeBron breaking the Raptors and breaking open the cracks that were already there in terms of frustrations with the coach. I've been told that they're exploring or at least contemplating whether or not they can make deals to move out another core piece, whether it's Jonas Valanciunas, who I've been told that they're pushing hard on again. Maybe Kyle Lowry, that's on the table. It could happen. DeMar DeRozan could happen, because what LeBron did was break who the Raptors were in the eyes of management to a certain degree. They just might not believe anymore. So they may not find a deal. They may run it back and try with Nick Nurse. and see if they can improve on last season and beat Boston, who will be really good, and Philly, who will be really good. And that would be an accomplishment. It's still a JV accomplishment, but it'd be an accomplishment. They may also just take a little bit of a step back or just even change the mix because LeBron busted them up so badly. And like for the Raptors, you can only play who's in front of you. You can only try to accomplish what you can accomplish. It still maybe feel futile for them to try with this group because in the moment of truth, when they had a vulnerable LeBron team, they still got swept.
How many coaches have been fired for losing a playoff series to LeBron James?
That's a good question.
It's Mike
Budenholzer held on in Atlanta for a few years till they went down. Tom Thibodeau in Chicago just drove everyone nuts. So it wasn't because of LeBron. There's been turnover because of lack of success. This is probably the only one where I could point to it and say LeBron did that. That's probably because LeBron did do it. The Masai confronted the coaching staff after Game 3. When LeBron hit the running shot, he was really angry they didn't double. The long simmering kind of frustrations with the staff were busted open by LeBron. I don't know if another team in the East, there have been coaches fired because the East has a lot of bad teams going up and down, but I don't think there's been any who were this specifically fired by LeBron.
Well, and LeBron also factors into the overall predictability of the league. I mean, the guy had been in the NBA Finals 8 years in a row. And was not quite as predictable as Golden State doing what they've done the past 4 years, but pretty damn close. And that's why, you know, in a way, I kind of feel for Nick Nurse, because he's rolling in here, and it's like, well, LeBron's out of the way. You better win now. And this is also why I think the predictability of the greatness of LeBron in the East, the greatness of Golden State, is not a great thing for the league. And the Raptors are the perfect example. This team had been a doormat in their own market for a long time. And self-inflicted wounds, run poorly, poor operations, hiring the wrong people, firing the wrong people, drafting, trading, signing the wrong people. They have put forth 5 years that is a historic run. 59 wins a year ago. This is the Raptors we're talking about here. 59 wins. Maple Leaf Garden, Sky Dome playing Raptors. 59 wins. And we're sitting here like, well, whatever. Who cares? Can't beat LeBron, can't beat Golden State. That's a problem.
Well, and the thing is, though, Hayes, this was the year when they should have been able to make LeBron very uncomfortable. Indiana did it. Boston did it without two all-stars who could have been in the rotation. Like, that game one, I remember sitting there in the second quarter and turning to Dave Feszek, who was sitting next to me, and I go, and we both agreed, they should have been up by 25. They blew game one, and that was the end of the Raptors. It was the end of this team believing truly in itself that they could beat LeBron. Now LeBron's left. Maybe that changes everything. Maybe they can beat Boston or Philly. They've always played them pretty well. But Nick Nurse is now walking into a situation where, one, you're being measured against Dwayne Casey, who's the coach of the year, won 59 games, and everybody in the town loves. And it's possible that between now and the start of the season, you'll lose a core piece because Masai Ujiri decided to shake up your team. Maybe more than one. It's not impossible. So Nick Nurse, man, he's a smart guy who really knows basketball. This is not going to be the easiest job in the world.
No, it won't be. Always appreciate you doing this for us. Thank you, Bruce.
Hey, Scored. See you guys.
There he is, Bruce Arthur from the Toronto Star.